Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015, and by Oboz Footwear, my feet's ride-or-die adventure shoe brand. So stay tuned for more about my recent favorites from both of them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. Okay. Oh, I'm so excited to have this conversation and get to share this story with you today because I have two guests today and I get to connect some dots here for you because if you've listened to the show for some time, you will actually have heard both of our guests before, but not together until now. And we have a great reason for having them both here together, which I'll share with you in like 1 minute. But first, to tell you who they are, I'm here with my friend Andy Austin, whom you may remember from two previous episodes. Is this your third time, Andy?
I think this is my third time.
So one time you were talking about van life and the other time was about Georgia, the country. And it has been a minute since we've had you on. But and then our other guest was just on the last episode before this one, which I think is super fun, sharing her story, her experience as a veterinarian and doing international work with that. And that is Chelsea Anderson. And these two happen to be married. And in a true world traveling Andy and Chelsea fashion, they have the coolest love story that started once upon a time in Morocco. And that is what we're here to share today, because who doesn't love a good love story? So welcome back to the show to both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah. I kind of wish that we had thought to record this episode last year while we were all road tripping through the Baltics together, like in Estonia. Like, how cool would that have been?
We could have done Pohjola and had a beer and done it there, but
we could have done it. We could have.
Next time.
Yeah, next time. There will be a next time. But yeah, I'm excited because I have been wanting to get you two together to share this in particular because it's such a sweet story. So in case people haven't heard either of you on the show before and don't know your individual stories, let's just start with a quick like how you each got started traveling sort of background, because I know that that's how this is all going to eventually come together. So Chelsea, do you want to go first?
Sure. So I guess, yeah, travel for me started early. My mom is from Belgium, and so we used to go pretty much once or twice a year. And then really my personal travel started in 2009 with a trip to South Africa in college. And then I've now worked and traveled to many, many places since then. But yeah, it is definitely a passion.
Okay. Andy?
Yeah, so similar. I think I grew up traveling a lot with my family. My dad started a small adventure travel company called Austin Adventures, and I grew up kind of building trips with him and doing that. And it was really cool, but it wasn't really my jam. I didn't discover a love of traveling until post-college, kind of like Chelsea. I went to Southern Africa, Namibia especially, particularly in 2014 on a trip that I ended up kind of hitchhiking my way around for a month. And I discovered that not only did I love traveling, but I really loved kind of chaotic traveling of not really having a plan and just figuring it out when I got there. So this idea of like going on maybe more regimented trips where somebody picks up the airport and then you don't think for a week wasn't really for me as much as showing up somewhere and being like, let's get to chaos.
And so I know that you guys ended up on the same trip together and this is how you originally met, but how did that happen? Because I know that there's important details in there that actually will pertain to our last episode as well. Chelsea, your story kind of shines in this one too. So let's hear it.
Yeah. So I think for the the story of Morocco, you have to go back a year before. I was living in my van. So if you want to go back to the old van life episode that we recorded,
yeah,
almost 10 years ago now, I was living in a van, didn't have a lot of money, was just kind of scraping by as a photographer. So international travel, not working, was not really a priority for me just because I didn't have a lot of funds to do that. But I had some like mutual internet friends that were going on like this New Year's trip to Switzerland. And I never actually met these people. And one of them posted on Facebook, like, hey, we're going to go to Zermatt in Switzerland for New Year's if anybody wants to go. And I jokingly, being the kind of dirtbag vandal I was, commented on it and said, oh, yeah, great. See you there. Because it just sounded like an outlandish thing that I was not really capable of doing. And she immediately messaged me and was like, you should come. And I was like, I can't afford it. And she's like, no, like, you should come. We're all going to split a house. It's going to be decently affordable. You should think about coming. And I kind of thought about it. I was like, you know what? Why not? So I ended up going, kind of cheap flight out of Denver on Iceland Air. They kind of hopped me around all over and did this whole thing and ended up going. It was incredible. And we had such a great time that that group, we were like, we should do this again. We should do it every year for New Year's. Kind of like, I feel like that's how those friendships always happen, where you do a great one, then you're like, we should do this every year. And then, you know, we did it. So the next year was Morocco. And she messaged me and was like, hey, this year we're going to Morocco. We're going to invite the same crew from last time. And then we're going to open it up if anybody else wants to go. And that is when Chelsea joined our little friend trip.
Yeah, so the person organizing was a friend of a friend, basically. And I had just ended a very long relationship, and I was looking to meet like-minded people that like to travel, that were around my age and not super young, not super old, like kind of right my demographic. And so, yeah, I just decided to go.
This is where I think that Andy doesn't let you tell the story because you tell it wrong, right?
Yeah.
So, correct.
Okay, Andy, let's hear it.
Yeah, so neither of us had ever been to Morocco before. And, you know, we, as a friend group, we had organized to stay in a riad in Marrakesh for the first couple of days before going to the Atlas Mountains. And just so happened that the first person to show up to the riad was me. And I had already organized it with the riad. They were going to pick me up at the airport. They were going to take me there because they were like, it's really complicated to get to. So like, you know, we'll show you where it is. So they pick me up at the airport, they take me there. And then as I'm getting out of the car, my driver was like, hey, just so you know, there's going to be a lot of people trying to scam you as soon as you get out of this car. You're going to see a tourist. This area of town is like notorious for scammers. They're going to ask you if you want help with your luggage. You're going to ask if you want help finding your riad. Don't say yes, because none of them know where it is. They're just going to scam you. Don't trust them. All right. So they came out and they showed me where the riad was, and it was down all these like crazy alleys. And then the next person who was going to show up was Chelsea. And so I'd actually drawn a map of like where it was, because I was like, if somebody's not coming with the transport by the riad, there's no way you're going to find this place. And so I like drew a little map. And up until that point, the only thing I knew about Chelsea was what her Instagram bio said. And what I thought it said was vegetarian in New York City. And I was like, me as a Montana meat eating, you know, rural area guy, I was like, this woman is not for me. Because she's a vegetarian in New York City. That's probably not my jam. And so I later learned that I just can't read, but I'll get to that in a little bit. So I hear a knock at the door at the riad, and it's like this big oak door. And I like open the door, and here's this woman standing here, and she's got like this huge suitcase and like this little suitcase. And immediately my brain's like, wow, like typical New Yorker. We're here for like 5 days, and she brought like, I don't know, 40 pairs of shoes or something. And I'm like living out of a backpack going across three continents for the next few weeks. And I'm like, wow, look at this woman. And then I, right behind her is there's these two Marrakesh guys who had followed her there. And I was like, oh no, here we go. So I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. And I like throw her inside with her luggage. And then I start shutting the door, and these two Marrakesh guys immediately like block the door from being shut. And they start yelling at us. And they're like, you know, she owes us money. we helped her find this place. So I asked Chelsea, like, did they help you find this place? She's like, no, the map that you drew is how I got here. So eventually I just like push these guys back, shut the door and, you know, lock it. And they're like pounding on the door, like, let us in, you owe us money. And I'm looking at Chelsea like, well, welcome to Marrakesh. Would you like some tea? So like we sit down. And I think one of the first things I said to Chelsea was, what's with the luggage? And, you know, maybe not like the smoothest line for me. And she then clarified that her Instagram bio didn't say vegetarian, it said veterinarian. And I just, you know, can't read. And she said, oh, I'm here in Marrakesh and we're going to be here tomorrow. And so tomorrow I'm going to work at a, you know, annual sanctuary or whatever it was you're working at. And I'm going to volunteer there. And this big suitcase is just full of like donated veterinary supplies that came from New York. And I was like, oh yeah. So that was like the initial, interaction we had in Marrakesh, but, well, you know, from there I was like, okay, she's pretty cool. And then, the rest of our crew was actually not showing up until tomorrow, except for one guy, Jeff, who was on the Switzerland trip with us. And we didn't know when Jeff was going to show up. And Jeff, in very Jeff fashion, was just like, I'll get there when I get there. I think he ended up taking like a 25-cent public bus from the airport and like took him like 6 hours to get to our Riyadh. So Chelsea and I had like a very long amount of time to kind of get to know each other. And at one point we still had no idea where Jeff was. So we were like, let's go have dinner. And so we had like this really nice dinner on a rooftop in Marrakesh. And, you know, unknowing to us that it was kind of our first unofficial date. Despite that, Chelsea wanted absolutely nothing to do with me romantically. So that was date one.
Okay. But this was date one of what ultimately would be what?
7 dates on 7 continents.
7 dates on 7 continents, which is what makes your story so cool. So maybe should we let Chelsea tell some stories?
Sure. Let's let Chelsea mess up some stories for us.
I also
oh my gosh, this is awesome.
I also want to say, I don't know if you're going to speak to this, the Morocco bit about your veterinary work, but we did just talk about this in the last episode. And so if you guys want to hear more about what Chelsea does and how she does veterinary work overseas, we just talked about it. And so there's a whole episode about that. And I love that, like, that is what is part of your story of what brought you to meeting Andy. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, again, this was like, I found out about the nearest trip, not only wanted to go just to meet people, but also immediately was like, what can I do when I'm there? And how can I help? And so, yeah, I brought down a whole suitcase of supplies, and it was one of the donkey welfare societies that I volunteered with, because I use them for everything. And yeah, from there, let's see. So our trip was pretty short. It was just like maybe 6 days, I think, that we were in Morocco. And then I went back and I was working in New York at the time. I'm not from New York. So the misnomer of being called a New Yorker is kind of like a little dig for people from Connecticut. just to clarify that. And so, yeah, I mean, I went back to my life and Andy went back to his life. And, you know, Andy being Andy, just was persistent. And I was not in a space to really let that in for a while. I think I said that earlier, but I just ended a long relationship and was kind of not looking for that. And, you know, as the universe works, that's like when you meet the person that you're going to be with, apparently. So yeah, I went back to New York and Andy asked for my address. And then over the course of a year, he sent me postcards from like all these places that he went to. I was like, like kind of friend zoned at that point, but, you know, just didn't see how that was going to work and hadn't seen him in like a year. And then, yeah, he asked me if I would come out to go to a charity event. Right, Andy?
It was like a fundraiser gala at my alma mater, Montana State.
Yeah. And so he was like, you should come out because you've never been to Montana and you can be my date for this thing. But also he like knew me well enough at that point to be like, also, we're going to go to Yellowstone National Park and you can see bears and wolves and all these animals. And I was like, you know, in my head, I was like, cool, this is really awesome and I'd love to explore this, but like worst case scenario is I get to go to Yellowstone.
Just a jump off point. I was the intermediary for that. So
yeah.
But Chelsea had, I think, right prior to coming out to Montana, because I still was kind of like, she's friends on me so hard. So I'm like, is this going anywhere? Is she coming out as like a friend? And we had been talking a little more. And then I remember she like texted me and said like, hey, I just have this crazy idea. And I was like, okay, what is it? And she's like, 7 dates on 7 continents. And I'm reading this message and I'm like sitting in a bar in downtown Bozeman with some friends. And I'm just like, but I don't actually know if she means like with me or if like, if she means with like 7 random dudes, like some sort of weird dating show.
Well, at least you got to be number one.
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know if she means. And so the only thing I think I responded with was I volunteer as tribute and like hand raising emoji.
Yeah.
And that was like my way. I can play it off. And she's like, no, not with you, idiot. I can play off like, oh, I'm just joking. But she was like, oh, that's great. Well, we already have one done. So, you know, it was kind of her way of like, I think, pushing me back a little bit and like trying to slow me down. But
I like to think of it more as me being open to the idea, but also not being fully ready yet. And so like it kind of created this natural distance in a way that like still allowed us to get to know each other.
Yeah, because this was about to be number two.
Yeah, this was number two. North America, but number two.
Yeah, would be number two. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. So Andy, so when I got to Montana for that weekend, which would be our North America date. Yeah, he cooked me this like incredible steak dinner.
Not a vegetarian.
Not a vegetarian. But ethically sourced meat is good. And yeah, we had this like really cute cabin Airbnb in Paradise Valley. So it definitely leveled up. I mean, rooftop in Marrakesh was cool, but also we didn't really know it was a date. So yeah, it was nice.
Wow. Did you get to go to Yellowstone and see bears and wolves?
Yeah, we did.
Nice. Excellent.
And we also went in the Boiling River, which unfortunately does not exist anymore.
Good that you got to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was November, so it was like pretty chilly, but we saw some great wildlife. And I mean, the park's beautiful with snow anyways. Yeah, it was a really fun weekend.
Yay. Okay, so that's number two. So then what?
Number three was Chelsea loves the beach. And so she wanted a beach New Year's vacation. And so we went to northern Norway in the middle of winter.
As one does.
That was number three. And it was actually funny, was the original friend group that was supposed to do that did Switzerland and Marrakesh and the whole thing, they were all supposed to come on this trip and all last minute all bailed. And so it was just us, which was probably like for the best. And we you know, got to have a much more romantic, you know, time, because we were still, obviously, for a few more years after that, we're still living apart from each other. So, so our first 3 dates were on 3 different continents, and we didn't see each other in between any of those. And we went to Amsterdam and then Norway.
Wait, how long in between 2 and 3? Because we know that 1 and 2 were a year apart.
I think it was like 2 months.
Okay.
Because it was like the first weekend in November, and then it was basically over New Year's. So,
right. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So it's starting to happen in faster succession now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, day 3.
There was so much dark.
It was just like, we got 40 minutes of blue hour a day. We don't think the sun ever came up the whole time we were out there. So a lot of time spent playing board games and watching movies and
We walked around in the dark a lot.
Yeah. Hoping northern lights were going to come out, and it just snowed the whole time. So we never really saw
them. We got them one time.
The first night we got a little glimpse of them, but we didn't get like the full, crazy overhead northern lights. But
this your first foray into matching pajamas, though?
It was. Yeah. And pair of
you were already on that level.
Yeah, that was me.
Probably a good sign. We didn't, in hindsight, it was like, oh yeah, level of chaos and crazy for travel is maybe similar.
Yeah. Yeah, because I already owned these Pendleton pajamas that were kind of iconic. And so I found like the matching pair for Chelsea for the trip. So,
so sweet.
So yeah. So then we have like these great photos of like us with like a gold bottle of champagne in Norway for New Year's. Those were kind of the start of the pair wear iconic, you know, photos.
Okay. And then what? So that was number three.
So then in March of the following year, my youngest sister and I had planned a trip to the Philippines and invited Andy to come. So it was my sister and I and Andy, and we traveled around, went to Palawan, Andy has some epic drone shots from that trip. And yeah, that was like the beach redemption vacation.
Yeah, the real beach vacation, right?
The warm beach.
Yeah. And how much longer, or when was this?
So that would have been in March. So that was maybe like 3 months later. Yeah.
So you guys are really getting after it at this point, kind of.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I think that was like Chelsea's original thought of like, let's do 7 dates to 7 continents was like, this will take years.
7 years.
And then we like knocked out like the first four in like a year and a
half.
And
Andy was like, hold my beer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like speed running the continents. So, yeah. And I was, for that trip, I was already, it worked out really well because I was already in Southeast Asia. I was there for a shoot in Bali. And then because that time of year is notoriously slow for me, I had told my client, I said, hey, can you just book my return flight for 6 weeks after, you know, the shoot? And he was like, what are you going to do for 6 weeks? I'm like, I don't know, but I'm going to have some
go
fun.
Go see about a girl.
Yeah. And then Chelsea happened to be going to the Philippines at that time. So I found like a cheap AirAsia flight from Bali to the Philippines and hopped over there. And then, yeah, I did that. So that was, I think before that one, we broke, because we talked about like, well, do we get to see each other between continents? Or are we just going to start speed running the continents and that's the only dates we get to go on? That obviously didn't work out because we were like, there's no way I'm going to just like wait forever to see you. So I think before that trip, I'd gone out to New York for a little while, for a couple of weeks when Chelsea was living there. And I'd never been in New York. So I got to experience that, which was pretty fun. And made a lot of friends on the subway, which Chelsea kept telling me I couldn't do and was not allowed to do that. So
it's like, stop talking to people on the subway.
She'd like go to work and come home and she's like, what'd you do today? I'm like, I went and met so many new friends. And she's like, no, do not stop talking to people in New York. They are not going to like you.
Montana boy in New York City.
No, it's not that they wouldn't like you. It's just that, I mean, if you know New York, it's like, you know, people are in their own bubble. And while it's a great place to meet people, like when you're commuting or you're walking down the sidewalk, it's like not usually when you strike up conversations.
So funny.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, so that was four?
That was four. Did you guys have any pair wear in Philippines?
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. We did in the Philippines. We did in Vietnam. Our Asia pair was in Vietnam years later. Yeah. The banana suits.
Yeah. Okay, not a banana suit, banana patterned.
Oh
short
yeah,
suits.
Right.
Yes,
I remember the pictures now. Yes, right. Not giant banana costume, but
correct.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So then it was like summer, and then I think Chelsea came out to Montana a couple times that summer. Once in Glacier and then once to my homeland of Billings, which is a very exotic destination for those who haven't been. Really selling Chelsea on Montana by bringing her to Billings. So.
Yeah, right.
Hey, this is the only time I've flown into the Billings airport, actually, just for that trip.
Wow.
They've remodeled it. It's really nice now. They have remodeled that airport. It's very nice. So then I think that fall or something like that, was it October? Chelsea was that the start of your trip, which I know you just talked about.
Yeah, I'll just do a brief summary, but I had left my job in New York at that point. I was a little burnt out. And I wanted to take a sabbatical essentially to do international volunteer work. And so I'd lined up a bunch of different places that I both wanted to travel to and also had arranged to do some veterinary work. And so I left in October of 2019. Andy met me in Australia.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, and also I'd like to point out that the end goal of after the year sabbatical was that she was going to move to Montana and move here, which originally she told me she would never move for a guy ever again. And actually, it was as I was dropping her off at the airport on her first trip to Montana. So like when we first kind of were like, I thought, well, I'm like, well, this is going well. I think we're dating now. She like, I was dropping her off at the airport and she's like, I have two rules. One, I'm never doing long distance relationships ever again. And two, I'm never moving for a guy ever again. And I was like.
And the world comes crashing down.
Okay. Have a nice
trip to New York. I could have maybe communicated that a little better.
Luckily, she broke both those rules. But she did ask and she's like, you know, if I'm going to move, you have to move too. So like where would you consider moving to? Give me your top five. And I said, well, Montana. I'll move anywhere in Montana. Wyoming. Idaho, Southern Colorado, or Western South Dakota. She was just like, so like adjacent states to Montana. I was like, yeah. Is there an ocean anywhere near any of those states? No.
I was like, Washington, Oregon, no.
California, no, definitely
landlocked not. Only.
Oh, I think I also considered Northern Arizona, like the Flagstaff area. So I would consider that area. But luckily, she came to Montana a bunch and fell in love with it and realized that there's a reason why I love it here so much. So she did end up. But that was the goal was for her after her sabbatical was to move to Montana. I broke her down enough that she was going to do that. But
in theory, been the end of summer 2020.
Yeah. Right.
Which things happen in 2020, which we'll get to. But
if you've been living in a bubble for the last 5 years.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, so Chelsea was working. Were you in Cook Island at that point?
I think, I had finished Cook Island. We met in Australia and then I went to Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, so we did. So I flew down and met her in Australia, which weirdly enough, I had never been to until that same trip that we did the Philippines. I went to Australia for my first visit to Australia and then went back again that October. So I did a two Australia year that year.
That is kind of a lot.
It was. That's the only two times I've ever been to Australia. I still haven't been back since.
That's funny. So how was your date in Australia?
It was good. Chelsea loves Australia.
They have the best animals.
Yeah. It's not my favorite because it's so much centered around the beach. But I love the Australian Outback. Big fan. And we didn't go on that trip, but I went earlier that year. Because it's basically just Montana, but even drier. So
this was your opportunity to catch her while she's going to, I mean, theoretically be gone for 10 months, right? Was the idea.
And this was one of
coming
those.
Yeah.
So then we were there. So we did Australia. So now we're at five. Right. And then all we had left was supposedly after this was South America and Antarctica. They were like, wow, we're motoring along.
Cause you all did that within 2 years.
Two years.
Yeah.
All of that was within 2 years. Yeah.
And it was just kind of lucky how that came about. Like if I had still been in my job, probably wouldn't have been able to do it that quickly. So it just kind of worked out.
Yeah, right. We'll come right back to that. But first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Osprey has been my go-to luggage for everything since 2015. My new favorite item to add to my list of trusty travel luggage is the Transporter Rolling Duffel 40 that I recently took as a carry-on all over Europe for 6 weeks on 13 flights, including a few of those budget airlines with strict rules, and it fit in the overhead bin on all of them. No lost luggage worries here. And with its high chassis, it held up beautifully on the cobblestone streets of France, dirt, rocks, ferries, and van transfers in the fjords of Norway, and even sandy surfaces on the coasts of Greece and Albania. 80% of Osprey's entire product line are certified Blue Sign products, and 100% are backed by their almighty guarantee. They will repair or replace any product for the life of the product. We are proud to support each other both on and off the podcast, and you can find out more at osprey.com. Oboz Footwear is the maker of my feet's number one favorite adventure shoe, the Sawtooth X Low. I know that footwear is as personal and particular as our own feet, but if my feet could talk, they'd scream at you to go try a pair of these on because slipping them on is like taking my feet to a cloud massage instead of a 15-mile hike. I don't make the rules. I'm just here for the ride. Aside from comfort and performance, one of my favorite things about Oboe's footwear is their commitment to sustainability. Not only are they a certified B Corp, but every pair of footwear sold helps plant trees across the world. Check them out for yourself and find out more at obosfootwear.com/lovehiking. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
Yeah. So then I left. I was in Australia there for, I don't know what it was, 10 days or something. And then Chelsea went back to her volunteer work. And then the goal was for me to come join for 2 months of her kind of Asia little circuit. And I was going to come and join. And when she was finished with her volunteering in India, I was going to come join in India. And then we were going to spend 2 months kind of doing a modified version of the banana pancake route, you know, going to Thailand and Vietnam and Cambodia and doing the whole thing. And yeah, I flew out of Montana March 9th of 2020.
Brutal. So, brutal.
It was my first indicator, because I mean, I'm obviously in Montana, we live in a bubble where we like, it takes a while for news to reach here. And so we don't really know what's happening outside of Montana. And I remember meeting with like friends and my friends being like, is this COVID thing? Is it safe to go to Asia right now? And I'm like, don't worry about it. Like nobody was ever concerned about like COVID hitting the US. Like it wasn't even like a thought process. It was like, oh, you're going to go to Asia. They've got that COVID thing over there. And I was like, oh, it's not in Southeast Asia. It's just in like more in China. And I was flying to India and the route went through Japan, which they had just started having an outbreak there when I was going through. And my first indicator that like things were not going to be going well was the Seattle airport. I got an email like as I'm about to leave from the Indian government, and the Indian government's like, we're not allowing anybody who's been to China or Japan in the last 2 weeks to enter. And I'm like, I'm flying through Japan. And so I'm like trying to read this email. I'm like, but it doesn't say anything about transiting through, because technically I'm not going to Japan. But I decided I was going to go for it. So I went. And I flew through Japan, and that flight from Seattle to Japan was like, there was maybe 20 people on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, uh-oh. And then I ended up getting on the plane. Japan was like, the airport was a ghost town. It was just like, the only people that were there were like workers, and they were in like full hazmat suits walking around. And it felt like the beginning of the zombie movie. Cause it's like, where am I and what is happening? And then I got on the plane to Japan, and there was maybe 5 people on the entire flight from Japan. And I was just like walking around the plane like it was mine.
It's not a short flight.
No, so not at all. And so I ended up getting to India, and then I got to India, and it was like, I mean, I know India is chaos normally, but it was even more chaotic because like nobody knew where to go. It was like, if you've been to Japan, you need to go to this line. If you are coming from here, you go here. If you do this. And like, we need to screen you, but like, nobody knew how to screen because nobody knew what code was. So
it's
like,
it's all new. Yeah.
And I was like asking people, I was like, I transited through Japan, but I didn't go through customs. So I never technically entered Japan. And they're like, you need to go to the Japan line. And I like waited for like an hour in the Japan line for them to be like, you're in the wrong line. You need to go to the other line. I'm like, fantastic. So yeah, our trip, our Southeast Asia trip was very interesting. We did the Holi Festival in India, which was really fun. I got E. coli, which was awesome.
Less fun.
The classic Delhi Valley. See, this is when it is useful to be a vegetarian, because I was vegetarian the whole month I was in India, and I never got sick.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Okay.
I ate buttered chicken. Buttered chicken was maybe not the move.
No.
But yeah, so then we went from there to Myanmar and loved it there. It was so amazing. But yeah, it was the writing was on the wall that tourism was not going to keep going, because we got in and it was, they like messaged us or emailed us and they're like, hey, we're ceasing all visas tomorrow, starting tomorrow. We're not going to allow anybody to get new ones. So like, if you get in before that, you'll be able to get in. We're like, great. So we were like the only tourists in Myanmar, because they'd all left and like they weren't letting anybody else in, and we were there. So we're in like Old Baigan, like there's nobody. And we did like the hike from Kalad to Inle Lake, and like that's usually a very popular tourist hike. Nobody on that hike. We got to Inle Lake, stayed at this fancy resort, and it was just us.
Yeah, that was like eerie. Like it was kind of creepy. It's this massive resort and we're the only two guests. Like it was at that point we're like, this is like a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We're like having dinner in like this grand dining room that can like fit 500 people and it's like just us. And we're just like, okay, this is getting weird. And then a lot of countries were already starting to shut down. So like Vietnam was off because they were already shut down. So we had to cut that out of our trip. And then like we were like, let's just go to Lao and then we'll go there and we'll maybe just be there for a little longer than originally planned. And we got there and same thing, they shut their visas down the next day. So we were the last ones let in and we're just like, you know, let's hang out here for a little bit and just see what happens. And then that's when like we got to our hotel and we checked in and like we looked at our phones and we had all these messages from people because the State Department had issued the level 4 travel advisory and we're basically like, come home now or prepare to shelter in place indefinitely.
Right.
And we're just like, I think we got to go home. And we'd been putting it off. And so we ended up booking 15 flights to Thailand because they kept getting canceled and then flights home. And like, they just kept getting canceled. And we finally got to Bangkok. And I remember like the board just being like canceled. Like literally every single flight canceled except for ours. And we're just like, get on it, let's go, let's get out of here. And like, we can figure it out when we get to the US or something. But
when did you actually get back?
I think it ended up being like 3 weeks.
Okay. So
now it was supposed
long.
To be 2 months, ended up being 3 weeks. And Chelsea was supposed to be there for another like 6 months or whatever it was.
Yeah. I mean, I had a teaching job in Australia for like 2 months that was supposed to start in May. And obviously that didn't happen. But yeah, it had just gotten to the point of, I know we're on a tangent right now, but it had just gotten to the point where it was like not fun anymore.
Yeah.
Like there was too much uncertainty and like not knowing if we could get into places or like what the medical care would be in certain places because nobody really knew what COVID was doing. I mean, the initial decision was hard. We were like, can we wait this out? Like we're going to be here for a few weeks and yeah, I mean, it was just like, no, we're not having fun.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
But that's how I emergently moved to Montana.
Yeah.
With like nothing but some shorts. I think Jackie actually.
Well, actually, Jackie let me her winter gear.
Yeah. And like provided Jackie went and got my car from my house and dropped off the airport. And of course, like nobody wanted to touch us because we were technically in quarantine for the next 2 weeks. And so we came home and Jackie went and dropped off my car with like a little care package, including some very valuable toilet paper. Because that was in the heart of the toilet paper crisis of the United States.
That's sweet of me.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
very
Jackie.
Sweet of you.
You're welcome. Good job, Pass Jackie.
So,
I forgot about that.
So Chelsea moved in my apartment and I don't know how stoked my old roommate was about that. She was kind of like, so is she like leaving? And I'm like, I don't think so. I think she lives here now. It's like, so we don't really have an option. Like, because Chelsea had looked at the options of like going back to the East Coast and like she didn't have anything there. She could have gone to her family's house, or whatever. But she looked at like going to New York and staying with family and, you know, maybe whatever it was going to be. But it was like, that was not going to be good because you like called her New York friends and they're like, don't come here.
No.
Like,
it's not
it hadn't
better.
Quite blown up yet. It had already blown up in Europe and it had blown up in New York, but they're like, they're bringing in the freezer trucks. They're planning on like a lot of carnage. And it's like, okay, maybe we won't go there. So
let's move past COVID. What good came out of that? You guys ended up moving in together. It went well. Chelsea stayed. And...
yeah. So then we were like, okay, well, we still have 2 comments left to get. And, you know, we kind of speed run through them. So we were like, you know, I don't think we were quite ready to get married just yet. If they had come, we were just like, it's pretty aggressive. And then my best friend got married that summer. And he was like, hey, I want you guys, Chelsea and I, to come on his honeymoon, which seems normal. he was like, yeah, we're going to go to Chile. And I was like, great. He's like, and I think we're also going to do Antarctica. And I was like, oh shit. if he was like, what? Cause this is like 2020. And we all thought, you know, like 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We're going to be traveling again by fall. Like not a big deal. And he was like, yeah, we're thinking of going to Antarctica. And I was like, well, that puts a accelerated timeline on my life. And he's like, why is that? I'm like, well, because if I go to Antarctica, I have to propose.
Nobody said this, by the way. Like, this is like an unspoken thing that Andy just came right. up with.
Of course
and
he
also,
did.
Just to backtrack a little bit, part of this came about because we were quarantining for 14 days in Andy's parents' motorhome, which was not big, but we yeah. were very grateful for it. Yeah. But I mean, we weren't doing anything, right? Like, I didn't have a job and nobody was working really. And we were there for 14 days and we found like a original OG Scott's cheap flight for Chile for like $300 round trip. And we were like, we should just book this. And it was for November of 2020.
Love this. Oh
so,
my
like, we
gosh.
Needed something yeah. to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Love that so much. Oh, man. It's like, that's like the real passion of the traveler right there coming through. It's like, this yeah. is temporary. We're going. Let's buy these tickets. I love it.
Which we ended up, we did use those tickets. It just took a long time before we could actually use them because I kept getting pushed back. And every time I get pushed back, we were able to keep them until we use them. But yeah, so he was like, we're going to go in November of 2020. And of course, obviously, that was not happening yet. So then it was like, okay, we're going to go in... you know, the next March or something, we'll still do the Antarctica trip. We'll do this whole thing. Obviously, that got canceled as well. Travel still wasn't happening. So they ended up, we pushed our ticket again. And then they ended up, we did end up going to South America in 2021. And we went to Peru and Colombia. And so we did do our sixth continent. Problem was Antarctica was still not open. So we were like, well, we can't go there. But we did manage to make the South America trip happen with our friends. And, so that was continent six.
And what was the special pair wear there?
We had some,
it was
like,
in front of Salk and Ty.
Yeah. With our, our, whatchamacallit?
Ponchos.
Ponchos. Yeah. Yeah. Our alpaca
Cute.
Ponchos. And I also got a new pair wear on that trip, but it wasn't much else. It was my best friend Nathan and I got pair wear. We got matching ass tattoos of an alpaca. The ass
You know you want to say. Like,
we drank a few too many pisco sours one night, and Nathan and I were like, you know what we should do? We should get matching tattoos. And our significant others were like, no, you're drunk, you're not gonna be getting tattoos right now. So they made us a deal. They said, you can sleep on it, and if you still want it when you guys sober up tomorrow, then you guys can get tattoos. And we're like,
seemed reasonable.
Yeah, it does.
So we slept on it and we woke up the next morning and went, man, I cannot believe we almost got tattoos last night. That's crazy. That would have been a wild travel experience. And then we proceeded to drink a bunch more pisco sours, and then we went, you know what sounds like a great idea? Matching tattoos. And the girls couldn't stop us because we did technically sleep on it.
The logic was there. Yeah,
that's funny. Oh man.
So there was numerous pair wears happening that trip.
That's true. I've
but
seen the photos.
Still no way in Antarctica.
Yeah. And okay. Then, so you're at six for six. So.
Yep. And then ended up having to push Antarctica back a full other year until winter of 2022. And that's when we finally were able to get a window to go. And so we did a trip through Argentina. Oh, and also earlier that year, we went to Chile as well. So
yeah.
It was Chile. So
I saw you guys.
We saw your long stories.
Yeah. Yep.
We had a glass of Carmenere together.
That's right. We did. I was starting a group trip that day, and you guys were there. What a cool crossover that was.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah.
I love it.
Jackie, how many countries have we seen each other in now?
We counted once, and I wish I had that number handy.
We got three last year.
I know. Yeah. I think it's around 10. Just you and I, which is wild.
Yeah.
So.
So then we ended up, went to Chile that, because we still couldn't go to, Antarctica. So we were like, well, I think that was actually when we had to use our flights, because the flights were to Chile. So we're like, we have to use them. They're the $250 flight. So we went to Chile, to Patagonia. It was great. And then finally, November of that year, the window opened up to go to Antarctica. And at that point, everyone knew that I was proposing in Antarctica, because everyone was like, it was like this thing. It was like, why, like, when are you going to get married? And it was like, well, we keep waiting for this stupid window to open up for us to go to this stupid continent because we can't go.
And by stupid, you mean epic and amazing.
Probably the best one of all of them. Probably the coolest, probably the best continent, because there's no people there. So honestly, it's hasn't been ruined by governments. So we finally got to go that year. We did an Argentina trip with that, which was really fun. So we like did the Patagonia, Argentina stuff, because when we were in Chile early that year, the land border wasn't open, so we couldn't do both sides.
Yeah, it was shut for like 2 years.
We did the Argentina side and then did the 2 days across the Drake Passage to Antarctica. And it was Chelsea and I had to, like, couldn't talk about it. There was, like, the giant elephant in the room where, like, obviously she knew and I knew, and it was just like, yep. And it's just like we're locked in on, like, you know, 15-foot swells across the Drake Passage, like locked in this little cabin, like
you can't escape each other.
It's just like, we're here and we're gonna do this. So yeah. So then the first day we were in Antarctica, we got to go to snowshoe up to a penguin colony.
That was our first continental landing.
First continental landing. And they were saying, if we can't land on the continent on this day, which is the first day we're there, we won't be able to land on the continent for like another 5 days, because we'll do other landings, but they're not going to be continental. And we're like, we have to land. I will swim to shore, because it has to be on the continent. I can't be on the boat, like, looking at the continent. I need to be, like, on the continent.
I love these rules.
I mean, I think that one was legitimate.
Yeah, it was like, the whole point was 7 continents, and I'm like, I can't, like... Well, kind of. No, I was like, no. So luckily, we did the landing. We did the snowshoe to the top of this penguin colony. And, you know, I've got the ring. And I'm like, okay, how do I get Chelsea? Because I know Chelsea's not going to want to do it in front of the whole boat. Because, like, we had a smaller boat, but it was 100 people. And so I'm like, Chelsea's not going to want to do this in front.
That would have been awful.
Yeah. So I'm like, I need to get her away from the people. And I need to get her, like... over
we
here.
Also need to, I need to interject for a second, because, like, this is like a life bucket list moment for me as somebody who has spent my life devoted to animals, that I'm in Antarctica seeing my first penguins. And there was like no way that I was leaving the penguins. I was like, what are you doing?
Dragging her away from these penguins. I'm like, we will come back, but like, I want to go take a photo, like, in front of, like, this beautiful view where it was like coming up where we snowshoed up. And I'm like, before everybody starts heading back from the penguin colony, I want to go over there and take a photo. And she was just like not having it. She was like, no, I just traveled all this way to see these penguins. I'm not going over there. And I'm like,
it was a good ruse, though, because while I knew it was going to happen at some point, I didn't know when. And also, I was distracted by the penguins. And it is not unusual for Andy to ask me to get into a tripod photo. Like, we do this a lot. So I was like, I was not actually putting two and two together in the moment.
Yeah. I love that. Because Andy is a photographer. I don't know if we've mentioned that yet, but yeah.
So I was like, and I was working for the boat company when we were down there to, like, help lessen our expenses, which was great because it's not a cheap trip. So I was like, we need to go over here. And so I finally dragged her over there. But it took so long that people were already starting to head back. And so I'm, like, setting up the tripod. I'm, like, trying to do as slowly as possible so people, like, move along. People are like, oh, we'll just wait. And I'm like, no. Keep going. And so, like, ended up, like, a handful, or, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 people were still there, including this guy who... we became kind of the godfather of our marriage, because he just always shows up when we're doing things. Like, he showed up like the day after we eloped and hadn't told anybody yet. And
he was just like, I'm in Bozeman. We were like, what?
Yeah. So that was like further down the road. But anyway, he was just like, we had become good friends with him on the boat. He's this great guy. And we were just like, he was like, oh, it's okay. I'll wait. I'll walk down with you guys. And he had no idea what I was doing. And I was like, okay. And so I was like kind of flustered, and I had like a speech in my mind prepared, and I completely forgot all of it. And I think my like actual words were, well, I think this is as private as it's going to get. And it just like got down on me, and I was like, just marry me? Like,
yeah, I have not heard this speech to this day. So, Andy.
Hey, I lost it. It's out of my brain. It's completely gone. But yeah. And then, of course, like Reed and then Joseph, our friend, was up there. He was like, oh, like, all right. So, I mean, I hiked down, and like, by the time we got back to the boat, the secret was already out, because like people that were in the area that were like walking around like saw it, and then they were like, they told our boat captain immediately or so. But by the time we got down to the boat again, everybody was like, so yeah, aren't you engaged? We're like,
wow, yeah. Good news travels fast.
Yeah.
In Antarctica, Catley.
With right? No cell phone service.
Wow. That's so great.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the 7 for 7.
And I think that you had the ultimate pair wear on that trip. Can you tell us about that?
The penguin suits, yeah.
So that was actually a penguin suit.
Proper penguin suit. And didn't you cold plunge in your penguin, or sorry, I think they call it a polar plunge down there? Antarctic plunge? I don't know. But you did that in your penguin suits? Did you do that?
Yeah, it was a horrible decision, because those things got wet and they just cling to you. So that actually makes you colder. You would think like it helps insulate you, but it's like, no, it's like this wet fabric just like touching everything. So like there's no, yeah, it was freezing.
Worth it though, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It was worth it.
So we partied on the helicopter pad and other things, and there's some great photos of us in our penguin onesies partying.
So cute. Oh, I love this. So, and then how long from meeting to Antarctica, how long was that?
4 years.
4 years. And then you got married the next year, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. 7/7. Yeah.
On 7/7, and had a whole 7 for 7 themed.
Which I've got to shout out this random person on TikTok who was the one who suggested we get married on 7/7, because we hadn't even thought about it.
Oh, funny.
I had posted like our whole like 7 for 7 love story on TikTok, and it like blew up. And like one of the commenters were like, well, this is all for a waste. You don't get married on 7/7. And I was like, look at Chelsea, and like, it's actually like a good idea. And we're both like, yeah, that's just a good idea. So
why not?
We picked our wedding date based on TikTok.
You did. What day of the week was it? Like a Wednesday or something?
It was in the middle of the week. I want to say it was like a Wednesday.
And you hiked up a mountain, which I love.
We did.
I just kept it small and just went up and did the thing on top of a mountain.
We only brought Chelsea's best friend, my best friend, our buddy Steve was the officiant, and then my matching ass pack of brother in crime was my right hand man for that, and then our friend Forrest photographed, and that was it. So and a lot of mountain goats.
So pretty.
More mountain goats than attendees, actually.
Yeah, they were the witnesses. We should try to get them to sign the wedding paper.
Nice hoof print.
Yeah.
I bet that made your animal heart happy, Chels.
It was so nice to have them there. I mean, as you know, we hiked Sacagawea in town and Bozeman and the Bridgers, and you kind of always hope that you see them there, and a lot of times you do, but you don't always, and it was really awesome to have them there.
Mm-hmm. The light was perfect that night, too. Your photos.
Yeah, it was really nice.
What a cool story, though. And then a couple months later, we all had a big wedding party.
Yeah, my parents' house.
Yeah. So fun.
We didn't want any weddings. We ended up having 3 weddings. So we had
one wedding.
We had one elopement, and then we had one rager party at my dad's place in Billings, and then one at Chelsea's grandparents' place back in Connecticut. So it was fun. It was like, and they were also like, we didn't do any wedding related things. We just had food and drinks and party.
Celebrated.
Yeah.
Celebrated. Yeah.
It was fun. Like, we had friends come all the way from Australia. We had friends from all over the world come and join us, which was really, you know, unique.
So what year was it that you got married? How long has it been? 2 years?
Almost 2 years, 2023.
2 years. Okay. So you have, well, 5 more years to plan a massive 7-year anniversary trip.
Hey, we already talked about it.
You did?
We're like, we're going to celebrate 7 years instead of like 5 and 10. We're going to do 7.
Great. I love it. Do you know where you're going?
We can't celebrate after that, I guess, anymore, because then there's no other 7.
That's it.
Let's make it the 70 years of marriage, which then I'll be decrepit, and Chelsea will be even more decrepit. Oh my God. So I get from marrying an older woman.
Nice, Andy.
Oh, you guys. All right. Well, this episode is actually getting published like right around your anniversary. So I'll go ahead and say happy 2 years to you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just, your story is so fun. And as a witness to Andy's efforts in the years that you weren't yet in Bozeman, it's just, I was rooting for you guys the whole time. He's a sweetheart, this one. He was like writing you poetry and writing you love letters like a.
Yeah, Andy, when am I going to get another poem?
Uh-oh, don't tell me you stopped doing that, Andy.
I already got a lockdown. I get any more.
Okay, so is there anywhere that, Andy, I know you have like a story on, I think it's on your Instagram. I know it's on your TikTok, but you have, can we share the link to it in case anybody wants to watch it
in the show notes?
It's just something on Instagram. It's like the 7 for 7 story. It's short.
I don't think I ever posted it on Instagram. I did post it on TikTok though.
You must have, because I don't TikTok and I've seen it. So I think it's okay. There. But, okay, we'll share that in the show notes. We'll find it. And
cool.
Do you guys want to, Andy, what is your, so people can find you anyway, because you are.
I guess you can find me anywhere you have the social medias, or send a carrier pigeon to @AndyAustinPhoto, and you can just find me in the ether.
Sweet. Chelsea, do you want to share?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, most of my travel stuff I post on my personal Instagram. So it's just @Chelsea, Chelsea _EA.
Chelsea EA. Okay. Well, I am personally looking forward to continuing the rest of the story with you guys, watching where you go for year 7 and beyond. So thank you for sharing. It's been fun to have you guys here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.